Welcome to the Dudley Unplugged podcast, a show that gets to the heart of plumbing. Okay, so welcome back to another episode of Dudley Unplugged. And today we're going to be talking about the growing numbers of women who are choosing plumbing and heating as a career. I'm your host, Mark Morris, and we are joined on Dudley Unplugged by Helena from Pink Plumbing and Karen from Kazgas. So welcome both.
Hi.
How are we doing today?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
You managed to get here okay without sort of going through any sort of floods or anything?
Yeah, pretty much. Some reason it brought me the back way and it threw loads of like country lanes. I didn't even think it was like that round here. You're from round here, aren't
you? Yeah,
not?
It is like that.
Yeah, I just thought it was. Yeah, I was surprised, but yeah, I got here okay.
Yeah, I drove through quite a few pools. I came down one point. There was sort of water on one side of the road, water on the other, and I thought, well, I'm going to aim for the middle because that could be a hole and I could end up in Narnia or somewhere. So I really don't want to get down there. I envisaged a scene from like Titanic as the car went into the water and never to be seen again. Yeah,
yeah, my heart rate just rises going through floods.
Yeah, it's like the car just goes all over the place in the water. Yeah, it's not really nice at all. So just one question: how long have you both been plumbers? Or gas engineers in terms?
Yeah, me, I've been a gas engineer for 25 years now.
Wow.
Yes, so I started off with plumbing at college and then went on to do an apprenticeship at British Gas, which I was with them for 22 years, and now I've got my own business, Kazgas, which I've been doing more plumbing as well as gas engineer, and been doing that for the last 3 years.
Excellent. H, what about you?
So I've been doing gas for roughly a year and then plumbing 5 to 6 years.
Nice. So what drove you both to sort of look at plumbing and heating as a career choice? Because, I mean, 25 years ago, it's probably quite unusual.
Yeah, I sort of left school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. My mum said I got to stay into full-time education because I didn't want to stay on. So I went to the local technical college and I actually fancied being an electrician. So I went along, I looked at the electrician's course and I thought, that looks a bit boring. So I was like, I quite fancy the plumbing though. So yeah, I did that at college 2 years and I've not looked back really, so.
Well, was there many other?
No,
you were the only female in the group.
No, I was the only female, yeah. So the difficulty was when you do a course at college, you have to obviously try and get work experience.
Yeah.
And they tried to get me onto a site, but none of the sites had female toilet facilities at that point. Oh. So I was like, I ain't bothered. I'll just go and use a portaloo. But they wouldn't let me go on a site. So I had to do my work experience in a plumber's merchant.
Wow. I suppose that's not something you really think about, I suppose. You know, ironically, going for a plumber's course and there isn't any sort of toilets is quite sort of not something you'd... I find it a bit unusual now. You would think that's unusual.
Yeah. But like I say, at the time, it didn't bother me. You know, I was like 18. I weren't fussed. Yeah. But yeah, they wouldn't let me go on site. So yeah, finding work experience is quite difficult. But on the flip side of that, because I was a woman on a plumbing course, they did get me opening things like local plumbing, like a new plumbing store that opened. They wanted me to go and cut the ribbon.
Oh, nice.
So I was a little celebrity.
Oh, cool. Excellent. How about you? What drove you, H, to go and do this?
So my dad is an electrician.
Okay. So you went, I ain't doing electrics.
I used to go to work with him, but no, it didn't interest me in the slightest. But I've always been like the hands-on type of person. And yeah, my mum's mate, husband, I think it was, he said, why don't you come with me for a day? So I had to go, flooded my first toilet on the first day, yeah. And then from there, enrolled into college, made sure I liked it first. Did college, my level two, and then we went, did my apprenticeship at Bovis Homes. Had the same problem with toilets, so what? The ladies' toilet was used by managers and site agents.
Okay, right.
We all shared this one key, and I had to even queue for the toilet at times. It wasn't great, but and then now I'll just do my own stuff now.
So you both have gone out on your own. What drove you to actually want to go out on your own?
I don't mind.
Well, I like I say, I worked for British Gas for 22 years and I had a good career with them. You know, I learned a lot. But it got towards the end of it, they got they were trying to change all our careers. All our contracts, and I'm a single parent. So for me, the new contract they wanted us to sign wouldn't have suited me as a single parent. I made that decision there that if they pushed through with it, and they went through with fire and rehire. So basically, if you didn't sign the contract, they'd dismiss you and then you'd be re-engaged on this new contract. So I knew if it went all the way to that point, I wouldn't, come back. So that's when I put things in place, start setting up my own company and sort of went from there.
It must have been a quite big step to think about for both of you to think about stepping up on your own, because it's quite a brave move, really.
Yeah, especially because obviously, like I say, I'm his mum, and there were no one else paying the bills, just me and him. So for me, if it didn't work out, I wouldn't get my mortgage paid. So it was a big decision, and it was, you know, really scary at the time. But to be fair, it worked out, and I've not looked back.
H, what about you?
So I took the plunge during COVID. Bit of a risky move, but I was working at my local co-op at the same time, and then jobs were coming in, and then I was furloughed from my apprenticeship. So I had sort of like, in a weird way, three jobs on the go.
Okay.
And it just got too much. So once I finished my apprenticeship, it was like I don't need the co-op. That was more of like a safety barrier because it's just down the road and I was getting paid every day, and well, not every day, but I wish, but every month. And then, I just took the plunge from there instead and just... went out.
Well, it's a big step going out on your own, because it's a bit like stepping into the unknown, isn't it? You don't know how it's going to pan out, but especially during COVID as well, as COVID coming out of you, because that kind of upset the apple cart on everything. So that's an amazing bit. But I was doing some research and I was looking at the Office of National Statistics data, and it says on there that only 2.4% of plumbers are female. So that's not a lot of numbers out there. Does that surprise you that the numbers are that low in terms of the share of female plumbers and engineers to males?
I don't think it's surprising, because we're out there, like, you know, you don't come across many female plumbers, but obviously social media has brought us together.
It does help.
And we see, like, we've made friends through social media, female gas engineers, plumbers, and we're really good friends. So we've got that back up now, but when you're out there in the bad world on your own, you don't come across females, do you?
No, it's very slim. It's like I was saying, like, it's one of those things that you feel like there's loads of you because you're on social media. But obviously, if you step away from social media, I don't know another one. I don't know any other female, but it's slim.
would you... From the experience that you've got now, would you recommend that females look to go into plumbing and heating?
Yeah, straight up.
Definitely.
So it's been a good experience overall for yourselves, despite the toilet issue at the beginning.
No, I would definitely encourage, females to do it. And funnily enough, I went to do a job for a friend I'd not seen for a few years, and she got two daughters that knew me, and I'd done some work for them previously, fitted radiators in the house. And both her daughters now are both at college, one's being an electrician and one's being a plumber. Nice. And she said that the main influence was because they'd seen me doing the plumbing and fitting radiators. And that, to me, even if you just change one
person
and encourage one person to go for it, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that really is. Well, that's inspiring, isn't it, for people?
Yeah.
I suppose people imitate what they see, and if you don't see any, it's hard now. Like say, you will see more people start, more people coming into it. But I mean, have you found attitudes to female plumbers and engineers has changed over the years? Has it got easier from on site, or to when you knock on the door to come in and, you know, Joe Bloggs answers the door and he's like, I called the plumber, what are you doing here? You know, so have you seen any of that change?
I would say no. For 25 years, not so much now I work for myself because they know Kazgas is turning up and they know that I'm female. But for 22 years, even from day dot to the 22nd year, I knocked on doors and had the same response. Oh, You're a female. Oh, how long have they been letting women do this?
Yeah. You're letting women do this, yeah.
Honestly, you get them, or you just, it becomes water off duck's back, doesn't it? But you do get all the comments that, you know, you just think, but yeah, it's just what people, it's not, people just expect to see a man. And we've all, it's not discriminate, you know, we all expect to see men in certain jobs. So when you do see a woman, it's even a nice surprise. A woman in a man's world, you're still like, oh, a woman, brilliant, you know.
Well, I'll be honest, I'd probably be surprised if I opened the door and there was a female plumber on the doorstep. Because outside of yourselves and Becca and Fee, I haven't met another female plumber. So it's nice to know that you are out there. And I suppose it's one of those, it's a societal change as things go on. You know, a lot more women are doing different types of jobs and men are doing different types of jobs. But I suppose there's some bastions that still are, and this one clearly is still male-dominated.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you'd recommend that women. So if someone came to you and said, how do I become a plumber engineer? What would you recommend? What path would you recommend that they go down?
College and apprenticeship.
Yeah. Is that the best way?
That's the best way. Yeah. Learning on the job is the best way. Getting hands-on with it. Knowing everything, getting passed down, even like little tips from like other plumbers. It's the little things that can make all the difference, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, learning on the job. When I went to college, I walked out of college with a qualification, but I couldn't get a job because I had no experience. And rightly so. I wouldn't have felt comfortable just going out plumbing, you know.
On your own.
Yeah. So having the apprenticeship with British Gas, you were learning in a classroom but also on the job, seeing things in real life. So you were learning in the classroom and then seeing it. It makes sense rather than trying to, you know, visualise it in the classroom when you're trying to learn stuff. So, yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried a little bit of plumbing here and there. You know, as in I can change a tap just about, or a washer. And even then I'm struggling. Okay, I'm not sure which is the washer bit that goes on here.
I think I even double check at times.
I have no problems with putting some wires in or moving some wiring around, you know, or putting them in plugs, switches. Quite happy to do that, even though that could probably kill me with a turn electric on. But when it comes to water, I'm a bit scared because I think the water, if I flood anything, then, you know, my wife is going to kill me. But I don't know, it just seems weird in my mind that is far more riskier to do the water than, I mean, I'll tell you one story. I was trying to change the taps on the bath. And bath taps, I've been told, are a bit more hard to change than sink taps. So I thought I'd done it up, but I was in the house on my own and the stopcock was downstairs. So I had to go downstairs, turn on the water, run back up the top of the stairs just to see if it was leaking, and it was still, and every time there was more water coming out, and it was absolutely not. I called a plumber in the end. I mean, God knows what he thought of me at the end when he came up. I was like, yeah, some idiot's left the taps like this. I don't know how that's happened.
The thing is, that's the funny thing, because even as plumbers, we have to do that. When we've done something and the stopcock's downstairs, you do that run upstairs because you just
in case.
Yeah, you do. Even though you're confident, you know what you're doing, they could be like, oh, what if I've missed some? Or what? So you do the run anyway.
It's nice when the customer helps, though.
Yeah.
When they get involved, yeah.
I mean, from all the years that you've been doing plumbing and heating, is there a story that sticks in your mind that you'll never forget, or you think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that? I mean, we were speaking to Liam and Pablo earlier, and they had a couple of stories each of mistakes and things that they'd done. So is there anything that sort of sticks in your mind from the years that you've been doing this that sort of is you know, something you'll never forget?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you learn every day on this job. You never stop learning. I think every experience you have is a learning curve. And there's been plenty of disasters, you know, water through the ceiling, you know, you're changing a pump in an airing cupboard and the valves haven't shut off, and and then the customer shouts up, oh, I've got some water coming through the ceiling. Is that okay? Is that normal? Yeah, it's perfectly fine. People panic though. I mean, it's not a big deal, a little bit of water through the ceiling, but yeah, it is. Yeah, that's probably happened on various occasions.
I've got one story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was when I was working with Squires Plumbing, and it was during COVID, and it was like a block of students' accommodation, and it was the soil stack was leaking. And no matter how many signs you put, don't use toilets, do not use toilets, do not flush on this one stack, do not flush it. literally as we put on the last fit in, someone flushed it. And it was one of those like milli of a second. It was so close. I'll never forget it.
Did you get what?
No. Oh. But there was like all the insulation was just covered. I had to take it all out and put it in a bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that was great.
So it wasn't the, oh, dearie me. Yeah.
I think I was heaving every video I was doing. I was like, no, what is this?
Yeah. Should have made him come down and clean his mess up. Or her mess.
Should have.
Well, I suppose it's a hazard, I suppose, of the job that you're going to fix a toilet. And I imagine some of them probably aren't in that good a condition.
Yeah, I try not to do too much of the dirty waste side. I tend to stick to the clean waste.
I switch off. I don't mind it.
You don't?
I don't mind it, no. It's okay. I think when I'm on a job and I'm getting paid for it, it's okay. But if it's like, if I'm out and about, I'm like, I'm not touching that. No, yeah. It's not, no. Can't do it.
Yeah, I remember just like when I first started working on toilets, really, I used to be like, get home, I need to get this straight in the wash, all my clothes, I've leant over the toilet. But you sort of become a little bit numb to it, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as long as it's, you know, cleanish. But yeah, if you overthink it, you just end up, you just would constantly be
doing it,
going home, changing your clothes and
scrubbing nails.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if it's a job I'd want to do. I mean, there's some jobs I don't mind getting my hands dirty and stuff, but there's I think maybe I'll draw the line at that, maybe. I mean, you're far braver person than I am on there. Yeah, it doesn't sound pretty there. I mean, I not toilet related, but I will say on toilet related, I worked in a cinema, a multi-screen cinema, and people think that men's toilets are messy and dirty. Nothing compared to the horrors that you'd go into in the female toilets.
Before, actually, I have heard that as well. Yeah.
It was like, oh my God. I just couldn't believe the. I'm not even going to go into the stories in there. But yeah, that was an eye opener. But we had to go. It was almost like you're feeling, I need to close this off. It's just terrible.
Yeah. So, funny has enough, someone who worked for a nightclub said the same thing, just the same thing to me last week. And I was surprised because obviously I'm a clean lady myself.
But it's just one, I mean, you don't forget that. I always think that it's going to go in there smelling of perfume and it's going to be all nice and there's going to be bird sounds and candles.
Flowers.
Yeah. I walked into it, I was like, oh wow, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a nightmare on there. But obviously being a plumber nowadays is probably different to when you started before. There's probably a lot more sort of positive attitudes to women in the workplace now than what there probably has been. Have you found that even fellow plumbers, rather than sort of the general public, are more sort of quite happy to sort of have you guys around and things like that? Is it, I imagine it was probably a closed door club at one point, but is it sort of a lot more sort of within the plumbing teams themselves, a lot more sort of open?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I was quite lucky because British Gas were always encouraging females to come and work for them. So I wasn't a loner and there was other females there, but you always got the odd person that never really thought you should be there and they'd make the odd comment and that. But you know, generally the team on a whole were really good, and I got promoted to be a manager and they moved me to Coventry. I work in Leicester. I got sent to Coventry to manage this whole new team that I'd never met before. That's where I met Leah. One of our female plumber friends. So I was dreading it because I thought, wow, what are they going to think? A woman's coming in, you know, because you always feel like you've got to prove yourself that little bit more. But to be fair, they were all fantastic and they took me in and, you know, they were a really good team. So I think sometimes the barriers are in your own head rather than other people. So, but that's probably due to the the small amount of negativity you do get and you do have. It does make you that little bit like, oh, how's it going to go down? How are they going to take it? Mm. So, you do get it. And it's the same now on social media platforms. You post things, you put things up, and you get questioned by other male plumbers that if you were a male, they probably wouldn't be saying that to you or trying to question what you're doing or
why you're doing it that way.
Yeah, and it's like it's like a power thing, but you just have to learn to ignore that, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'll say, I mean, meeting yourselves and the other female ambassadors, we'll come on to that in a second, is the positive attitude that you guys all have. You're all absolutely delighted about being plumbers. And that's it's surprising that people are happy to be doing their job, which I thought was actually quite surprising, really, because a lot of people do the job because, oh, it's just a job I do. But all of you have got such a very positive attitude, which is sort of, I don't know where that comes from in terms of how that is.
It's weird. It's like my mates, when we used to go on a night out, they used to play a game. They go up to someone in the bar and be like, guess what she does as a job? Like, that used to be a game. And I'm like, why is that a game? It's just my job. But yeah, it is.
Did anybody guess?
No, I got the drinks.
That's all. What sort of weird and wonderful concoctions did they come up with for jobs they thought you might be doing?
Oh, you probably anything. Don't want to ask her that. Oh, yeah.
maybe that wasn't such a clever thought process there.
You seen her when she goes out? She's hot.
Have you found that there's any sort of initiatives or programs aimed now at getting more sort of females involved in plumbing and heating that the government's running or that companies are running or anything like that? Is there anything out there that if someone wanted to come into it, they could use that as a, yeah, okay, that's a way in?
I know British Gas were, they decided that they wanted 50% females for the next intake of apprentices last year. I don't know if it happened or not, but I know that's what their aim was. And I think for myself, I've always been like, you've got to make it, because I think the main reason there's not more women in plumbing and jobs like ours is because they don't see it as an option necessarily, even when they're growing up. And I think you've got to sort of get in young and let them know young that they can do this sort of job. Because I went into a job while I was working for British Gas, and there was a boy in there who was about 3 years old. And even he said, but Mum, it's a lady, you know, and that to me shocked me because he's three. Like, why has he got a preconception? But that's why, I mean, you know, I've always said like, I'd love to make a cartoon with a female in trades, you know, Bob the Builder. Yeah. So yeah, I think that would be a good way of getting more girls switched on from an early age to think that might be an option as a career for you.
I suppose as long as it's the opportunity's there for everybody, whether people want to do it or not, that comes down to a personal choice then, doesn't it? But as long as there's no barriers to opportunity, and you know, if anyone wants to become a plumber, they have the option to do that.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're on a girls group and there's a lot of apprentices in that and they do get a lot of aggro and some of them struggle with that. And I think you see that, don't you, with the girls group that we're on, that, you know, some of the messages that come through. It's not easy for girls to be in this world. And I think it depends on who you're working for, where you're working and that support, because sometimes they have no support and they're quite, they go through a lot, you know. So
quite it's, replaceable.
Yeah. Which but it's sad. Not, I think you have to be quite strong and have to want to do it to go through that and come out the other side.
I suppose having people they can look up to who have actually been, I mean, 25 years is a long time to have been in any particular job. That's something that I suppose when they're looking, thinking, yeah, actually it is possible. And, you know, there's people out there that can do it. So I suppose it's great that you are part of a group that allows people to see the potentialities of what they want to do.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's quite, you know.
Sorry. I was going to say that everyone's journey is, I think, everyone sees the end point. Like, everyone can see Kaz being on her own and doing everything and, like, smashing it. But I don't think everyone realises that most females still go through each barrier to get to that point.
Yeah.
I think that's what, I think sometimes the girls in the group will just see, oh, but she's doing that. And you're like, yeah, but I didn't just get there. Yeah. I've had a rocky road to get there at the same point.
Right. Yeah, and you're likely to face certain objects as well as you go through it and just be prepared. I suppose if people are prepared and I suppose it's helping them along the way, which I suppose it goes a long way for, I mean, I suppose for anyone to know that there is a pathway that they can do. I mean, it's great that you know that you are part of that group, because it's just something that adds extra support to everybody. And talking to groups, yourselves along with some others have become sort of ambassadors for Thomas Dudley Plumbing Products. How did that happen? How did you suddenly end up sort of talking about Thomas Dudley Products?
Which answer do you want?
Any answer you want to give is good.
Pablo asked.
Yeah, that's fine. We had Pablo on earlier, and like I say, he was a driving force behind the guys as well. So it's great if someone could do that. Yeah. So Pablo asked if you wanted to be part of it. I mean, so Pablo said, "Do you want to become an ambassador for Thomas?" This is what we're doing. I'm assuming it appealed in some way that you thought it was a good idea.
Well, he invited us to a factory tour to start with, and we all went down, didn't we? And we had a fab day.
You had to listen to me talking.
Met everyone, went around the factory and seen things in production, which was really good. And then at the end of that, we were asked if we'd like to be ambassadors. And I think at that point, you know, seeing what the company and, you know, the fact that it's UK manufactured and the, you know, the employing people, and it's just a real good company, and you got a real good feel from
and everyone knows the name.
And you know, I was just like, there's no doubt about it, I'd love to.
I mean, it's been great having you guys aboard. It's what did you think of the factory? Obviously you went on the factory tour. I mean, it's people's perceptions of how products come about, because it's, you know, it's just a product, it's done, but actually seeing how it's made and the people who actually have to make it, it can be quite an eye-opener for some people.
I find that quite interesting. I enjoy a factory tour.
I worked on an assembly line after I'd done my plumbing just while I was looking for a job and making lights, so it brought a little bit of that. But no, I love seen start to finish, and even the robots that they've got making things, I thought they were fascinating.
Yeah, it's always good when you see how technology has helped do things, or, you know, it takes machinery to pick the washers up and move them around. And I mean, I don't think you got to go to the foundry when you see all the molten metal getting poured in the foundry we've got there as well. He's always quite a sight to behold as well. But it's interesting that most of the workforce at Thomas Dudley are females as well.
Pablo on that line.
Making an absolute nightmare of it. But I mean, it's just quite amusing that the guys out there might be sort of a bit hesitant about having, you know, females on, but they're installing products that are mostly made by females. Yeah, so it's quite one of those one of the ironies for them, if they have any objections to it. Actually, you're installing products that are mostly made by women. So, but yeah, so you mean you enjoyed the factory tour. Obviously, the guys loved having you guys around as well, which was good. So is there anything that stuck out in your mind on the tour? Was it the robots or the people or what?
Watching the Ballcocks being made. We were fascinated with that, weren't we?
We got to move along.
We were just, come on, we're moving on now. And we're like, we just want to see the end bit where they put the metal in. It was like, I could have stood there and watched that all day, to be fair. We love that.
It's crazy, isn't it, how some little things like that just sort of capture your attention. So I want to see what happens to that next bit. I want to see what happens there.
Because these are things I use every day. Well, not every day, but, you know, I do use them. So to see them actually being moulded and made and, it's really, really enjoyable.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's great that, you know, we've got some female. Like I say, with only literally a handful of female plumbers out there, to have, you know, four or five of you as ambassadors for Thomas Dudley is great for us. And hopefully we can push that out and sort of help to communicate that out to everybody that, you know, we value women to do what they do in the plumbing industry, and we can help move that message along in a positive way, which we think is, you know, quite important. And we're all, from a Thomas Dudley point of view, we're all delighted that you're all on board, and it's been great having you and having you in the podcast for today. So I mean, you know, hopefully we can act as an inspiration for the next generation of plumbers that come along,
because I think it's important, because we still go to installer now. I don't know if you find this age, where you go up to a stand and you might be with a couple of other males and you're asking questions and they're not even answering to you. Yeah, you get blanked, and they talk to the men. You're like, hello, I'm here. Like, I'm also a plumber. I'm also a gas engineer. But that's probably, installer is one of the main things that, you feel it. You feel like you're ignored.
It's changed over the years. And my first one, I think, was 2019. And that was very male dominated, to the point where I think it was like me. I think I saw maybe two other girls. That was it. And it got to the point where I was walking around and it was exactly the same. Yeah. And then they'd be like, she's a plumber as well. And you're like, oh yeah, they look at your badge and they're like, oh yeah. Then they start interesting because you're interested in their product. And it's like, yeah, thanks for that. But I have noticed every year there are more and more, like us lot, females going round, which is so nice to see. It's really good.
Yeah, definitely. But there's still companies that blank you and distance you, which is a shame, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, especially,
it's,
I mean,
another one across off the list, yeah, not using their products. <at all.
laughs> I mean, it's surprising that companies do that, because, you know, you don't want to turn away a customer, do you? I'm actually surprised that companies still have that attitude. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, it's that assumption, isn't it, that they don't look at you, and whether they just don't think you're a plumber, because there is other females there that are there for other reasons. But yeah, when you're asking technical questions, you'd think they'd assume like that you are a plumber.
Yeah, I mean, I have absolutely no idea about plumbing myself. I'm in marketing. I don't understand anything about plumbing, really. It took me until I started at Thomas Lee to know the difference of why does that toilet have a handle on it and why does it have a button, and what the difference was. You know, for anyone who doesn't know at home, if it's got a handle, it'll be a siphon. And I'm trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about now. And if it's a button, there'll be a valve in there of some sort. So, I mean, when it comes to sort of the products within the system, which is what Thomas Dudley really sort of does, Thomas has been sort of looking to sort of develop more products on water saving wise. Have you seen that? I mean, especially for yourself being around, you know, 25%. Not that you're older or anything. But over the last sort of quarter of a century. Sorry. Have you seen attitudes to water saving change in that time? I mean, because when I was, you know, when you started in 87, I was leaving school. So it was, I'm joining the army. So it was the difference on there. But water saving wasn't something we thought about.
I started in 97, not
97. Well, sorry.
I'm not 35 years old.
I'm sorry. I was just aged cars a whole decade now.
I can't be right. Told I don't look old enough to be doing that long. You've got another 10 years.
No,
only.
No, yeah, okay. I think we need to cut that. Let's cut that from the whole show. We can't really have it known there. Okay, so I joined the army 10 years before you even thought about becoming a plumber on there. But water saving wasn't anything that we thought about back then. You know, I came from a time where we had no double glazing and a coal fire to heat the house, no central heating or nothing. Mm. So saving water by flushing the toilet. I mean, I think my nan had an outdoor toilet still, or the room where the spiders lived is what, you know, we were a bit scared to go in there. And she, for some reason, she didn't use toilet paper. It was newspaper. In the outside toilet, she had cut up newspaper in the outdoor toilet.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm showing my age now. Yeah, I didn't earn this grey by being young. But yeah, have you noticed that attitude to water savings change and how people sort of want their bathrooms to work or toilets to work?
I think since water meters have been put in people's houses, they are more conscious. I think I've always been conscious. I've always been one of these people that turn the tap off. I've never had a water meter in my house, right, but I've always been one of these people that turns the tap off when they're brushing the teeth. And
I am not.
Oh!
I know, I'm in advice.
Don't say that, you're going to have a mob at your door now. Yeah.
Back to that era you were just talking about when I was a kid.
There were dinosaurs and things, yeah.
We had a telly that we had to put 50p in to make it work. It was a rental telly, and you'd put your 50p in and you'd spin it and you'd get so many hours. Yep. Now, it was like when they come and emptied that, you'd get like a bit of the money back and we'd be like, yay, we can watch loads of telly now, because, you know, money was tight. So you put your 50p in and it had to last you. So I think that taught me from a young age, you know, turning lights off in property, like in the rooms when you're not using it, and then not running water excessively. So I've always had that mindset. But I think, unfortunately, that people now have probably got it because of money and the fact that they are being billed for the water that they use. But I've changed quite a lot of toilet flushes because of the fact that they're passing through and it's made the water bill go up, and they might not have even noticed it before that.
Well, that's it, because, I mean, you know, H clearly doesn't care about saving water by even running the tap while cleaning the
I'm already halfway through like doing my teeth and I'm like, oh yeah, tap. Yeah. So slowly I'm remembering, but just not from the start.
But again, I suppose it comes from, like, as you know, I remember 50 pence is you put 50p in the electric meter. I mean, they talk about now about if people get their electric cut off and how bad that would be. And we used to get cut off all the time because you'd be sitting and watching the tunnels, the house would go dark. And then, you've got 50p for the meter, Mom. No. So you have to walk across the road, knock on your neighbour's door. Rose, have you got 50 pence for the meter we can borrow? Just so we can get the electric back on again.
Yeah.
But that was always, like you say, when the electric man came around, that was always bonus time, because we'd add up how many 50 pences were there and give you so much back. Yeah, so it was like, hey, we're rich. So, yes, but In terms of saving water, how we do it there, I mean, I didn't care. I mean, we flush the toilet once, twice, doesn't really matter. But I suppose when looking at it now, I suppose I asked a couple of the guy plumbers earlier, was fixing toilets or if a toilet was leaking something that was high on the priority of a homeowner? And they said it can be, but the amount of times they'd go somewhere to fix another problem. And they say, oh, why are you here? Can you have a look at the toilet? Because I think it's leaking. Do you find that customers do that, or do you think they're a bit more sort of proactive now?
It varies really, doesn't it, I think. You do get some people that will want it sorting straight away, but then you get other people that you mention it to. Oh, I've just used your toilet. I noticed it's flushing still. Oh, yeah, it's been doing that years. Okay, I'm not bothered about it. You don't want to push yourself on to repair that. Well, I can repair that if you want. We'll leave it for a bit. Yeah, we'll give you a call. You know, some people just...
They're just used to the noise. Yeah. Like the trickle in the night, you can just hear it. They're used to it. But then, yeah, some people are like, no, it needs changing.
I mean, the amount of water that actually gets sort of wasted, I mean, it's, I think about 4% of the toilets are leaking any time in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think it's about 4%. Some water companies will say it's 25%, but the Leaky Loo report said it was about 4 to 5%. So if say 4.5%, 5% of toilets across the UK are leaking at any one time. That's enough water going down the toilet to fill 4.5 million baths every day of drinking water.
That's mad.
That is literally flooding down the toilets. And
that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've experienced that people go, yeah, maybe I'll get it fixed, maybe I won't, I don't know. And it's usually the valve that's leaking or the inlet valve that's leaking, which can be fixed relatively easily.
I think because it's not leaking outside the toilet and it's not the pipe going in.
Yeah.
It's not a problem because it's just, they think it's just going in. So going in, you're like, it's still a leak.
So they're like dripping taps. People just ignore them.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose with dripping taps, I'm going to turn it tight. Yeah. It will go off at some point. But yeah. So I better get that fixed now.
But a lot of the quarter term ones, you can't do that with, and they'll just drip.
I suppose maybe if the water was leaking out, because you used to have the external, I'm going to sound like I know what I'm talking about. I have no idea what I'm talking about, by the way. With the external sort of overflow for the toilet was leaking, it would flood out. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so you'd spot it quite a lot because it's dripping down the wall.
Yeah.
Now with the internal overflows, it just goes straight down the toilet. I suppose it's harder to spot, at least initially, for people. So I understand there is a way you can test the toilet if it's leaking, which is putting the toilet paper at the back of the pan. So I think if you dry the pan off and put a bit of toilet paper on the back, if it gets wet, then you know it's leaking.
Or use a bit of blue toilet duck.
Right.
If it goes obviously clear, it's leaking.
Yeah.
You know, you just put the duck round and it should stay all blue. But if it starts clearing off, you know it's leaking down there.
I mean, I suppose your advice would be at that point, you need to get that fixed because it's costing you hundreds of pounds a year that you don't really see.
Mm.
And also wrecking the environment while we're at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I suppose the advice is if you've got a leaking toilet, get it fixed. Yeah. Call in one of these two, they'll come and fix your toilet. It's the way to go. So do sort of working with sort of Tom Studley and the other ambassadors. Have you found that entertaining? Have you found that sort of worthwhile to do?
Yeah, it's good. It's
a good group.
Little team,
enjoy
isn't
the group.
Yeah.
It's nice because when you work for yourself and you're out there doing your own thing, it can be quite a lonely job. So mm-hmm. I think when you've got little groups like that, you know, you've got little people you can have a chat with, and it just helps you get through the day, really, sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're all very active on social media.
Yeah.
I suppose that's changed a lot over the last few years. I suppose it has opened up a whole new sort of world for people with the social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's another way of having that sort of the workmates as such. When you're not got workmates, social media is like your workmates because you chat during the day.
We go on our Christmas party, don't we?
Yeah.
Because we're all unemployed.
Yeah.
I suppose it has a bit of a negative effect as well because the amount of YouTube videos where, you know, you can fix it by doing this. I suppose
Try it out yourself.
Yeah, I suppose, which is possibly a good thing, maybe not. I suppose if you come to a house where someone's actually had a go and made it worse.
It's a bit like you say, people will have a go. I hate getting them calls, though, where they've had a go and they can't do it and then they want you to come in halfway through to fix it. It's
That would be me. That would be me. Like, I can change the tap, no problem. No, I can't do that tap on there. Can you come and tighten the tap? Oh, geez, you're tightening it up for me. I can't do it.
It's surprising how many people don't actually know how to turn the water off in their own house, though.
Yeah.
That's what surprises me a lot as a plumber. And, you know, having, you know, you do it in your own house when something goes wrong. I've had a couple of burst flexi pipes and I've turned the water off. And I think, what would happen if that happened there? They wouldn't know how to turn the water off. It'd just flood.
I suppose that's people think things just work.
Yeah.
And I've been guilty of this. I moved into a house. I was telling the guys earlier that I accidentally drilled through the gas pipe. He's laughing. I can laugh now. It wasn't even funny at the time. I blame my wife completely because she wanted a shelf put up in the kitchen next to the boiler.
Oh, well, it's definitely her fault then.
Clearly. Yeah. And I didn't think that the pipes would run from the boiler that way. To be honest, I didn't give it a second thought, to be fair.
Would you?
No. So first lot of screws went in, where they put the bracket, not a problem. Second one, I was drilling, I thought, what's a bit of resistance here? So I pushed harder on the drill to get that to go in. And as it pops in, it pops into the through. And then I could feel this, I've still got my finger on the drill, and I could feel this pressure behind the drill. And as I pulled it out, it was like, whoosh of gas. And I was like, expletive filled moment, which I won't repeat. And then I just shouted to my wife, get the cat and get out of the house. We'd literally been in the place maybe 3 days. I had no idea where anything was. Didn't even know where the gas was. So I had to bang on the neighbour's door, saying, I've hit a gas pipe next door, you need to get out. Because I had to blow your house up. Yeah, by the way, I'm Mark, because you're your new neighbour.
There with a fag.
don't light up, yeah. And then the neighbour told me where the turn off was. So I went out, turned it off, which, of course, I dialed 999 in complete panic at that point. So... Oh, I didn't know what else to call. So the gas man's coming out, the fire engine's on its way. There's me outside. I've turned the gas off now. I think it's all right. So the fire man, he comes in, and literally there's a tiny hole where I've drilled through. Gets his hammer out, whack, 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 and makes a huge hole in the wall and went, yeah, you've hit your gas pipe. And then left. And then I thought, oh, that's great. Yeah. So I then had to wait, get the gas man come out, sealed it up, and then I had to wait for a repairman to come out and fix that. And I ended up with a huge hole that for the 4 years I was there was always a bit rough on the outside. And I didn't quite fill it properly when I was trying to fix it, but that's my wonderful DIY.
So
skills.
The moral of the story is...
I won't touch walls. Don't touch... pipes. No, yeah, I'll put shelves up.
I was going to say, don't put any more shelves
up.
Well, I'm not in there anymore. No. I bought one of those little stud detector things.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea whether that's any good. It beeped all the time. So, okay, I'll just close my eyes and hope for the best. But yeah, I suppose DIY people, we can be great at doing things, but we can also be a complete disaster when we do things as well. And you're the people we call to come and fix our mistakes.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know, it's going to cost me twice as much now because of the damage I've done. So I suppose the moral is really, if you don't really know, get a professional who knows how to do it properly.
Thing is, it in a pipe, anybody could do that. You know,
have you ever?
I've not, no personally.
I did on site, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. How did that happen, H?
So I didn't do the first fix in the house. It was in a radiator. They used to use 10 mil plastic and used to do like a loop. But on one of them, they told her to go sideways. So I was like, it's in the loop, it's fine. I went sideways and straight in, water coming out. And I was like, oh no. But yeah, that was not good. I had to bash out the wall and everything, change the plan.
I did go to a job where they had, in the downstairs toilet, they'd noticed some water under the radiator. And I looked and I could see it was coming down. So the pipes were running behind the radiator and coming out behind the radiator, the plastic pipes. And you could see the water was sort of coming down there. So I sort of looked up and there's a picture up there. So I took the picture off and there's a pin in, and I pulled the pin out and water just sprayed out. So yeah, they nailed straight through the water pipe and it was just trickling down. But yeah, that was quite funny as I pulled the pin out. It's like,
back in.
That's one of the things you sort of see on a comedy film, isn't it? You don't expect that in real life. I never realise will I ever come across that. Someone put a pin in there. Oh, that's a brilliant story. That's a great story. I like that one. Was it a nice picture that was holding up? That could have been all the. Was it a family portrait?
No, it was just a random picture that they put up. But they'd I told them to move it that way a little bit, put it up over, cover the hole, because I had to cut out a little bit of a hole to put get a repair in. So they then just put the picture over the hole.
A bigger picture.
Yeah.
Yes, keep going. The next time I'm leaving a bigger hole. Yeah. My wife likes moving the front room. I talked to my wife a couple of times in this podcast now. She's actually going to kill me. She likes to move the pictures around. So there's quite a few little holes dotted around the front room where there's little pictures have been moved around. So can I put that there? Oh, no, I've got a hole there. No, I can put someone else on there. Plumbing's, it's an interesting sort of trade. I mean, it's not something that I've looked at the things I look at, what makes my life easier. Flexible tap connectors, perfect. I fitted one of those. But I had a go at soldering once, and that was the biggest disaster. I think I burnt my hand. I think I burnt my leg. So I mean, do you guys do soldering? Can you do the soldering on the pipe work? Because I think that's a skill set that I could never have.
Well, obviously, when I did plumbing at college, I learned how to solder. And then for 22 years, I didn't solder once because I was mainly working on boilers, repairing them. I don't do installation. So, yeah, for 22 years, I didn't solder. So when I started working for myself, I had to sort of teach myself to solder again. And I've got a bit of a love-hate relationship with solder. Sometimes I love it and it looks amazing, but I do now press some... I've got a press gun.
You've gone to the other side.
Yeah, I've gone to the other side. Yeah, so yeah, that's I'd much prefer. Press is so much easier. It's safer, and I prefer that now. It's a game changer.
Definitely like lofts or anything like that.
Yeah.
How about you, H? Are you any good at soldering?
I do quite like it. Yeah, I do find it's like more of a piece of art. Is that weird to say? But I do appreciate a good solder and. Yeah,
I'm terrible at most DIY things. I mean, I can do. I don't mind having a go, but the actual outcome is sort of hit or miss. Or whether I mean, I remember putting a new unit like this in the kitchen, and I had to put the sink in, and you follow the instructions where you draw a circle around the line. You have to take it so many mil in, and I must have stared at that for about 2 hours before I could sort of have the courage to put the drill in and then start cutting it out. So I thought, if I get this wrong, that's it. It's done. I need a new one.
That's like me in kitchen sinks. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not easy. But, I mean, I did my old kitchen, which I was quite impressed with. It's not fared very well, but it was quite a few years ago. But we had our bathroom done recently and we had plumbers come in, and I'll never... do anything myself again, because the brilliant job that got done was just, it made it look, you know, so much nicer than anything I could have done. But my bathroom fell apart when they took it apart because it's that old. But when they stripped off the tiles, literally I think half the house came with it. Luckily I was at work, I missed all this excitement. When I came home and my wife was like, you'll not believe the amount of dust and stuff that came out. But the bathroom itself was like, I was like, oh my God, all I wanted was a new bathroom suite. It just looked like a bomb had gone off in there. So I don't know how many if you sort of started a job that you think is going to be sort of quite easy and then it turned into an absolute nightmare.
I mean, I don't do bathroom refits or
even a boiler fitting, I suppose.
I tend to do the smaller jobs, but yeah, you do sometimes come across it and you think it's going to be straightforward and then it isn't.
It was like last night. I had to do a toilet last night.
Did you?
And I was like, just take my tool bag even, and I was like, it's fine, I'll just nip it up. It was just the little nut under the toilet. I was like, that's all I had to do. As soon as I tightened it up, it snapped. The whole thing just snapped, thread. And I was like, oh, this is not what I wanted. I had nothing on me.
So I'd be happy to have a new system, or
Well, just a new fitting, but yeah, it was one of those things you just think, I only came for like 10 minutes, and I was there like ages, and I was like, this isn't
good. The thing is, I think when you do things like that, like I repair a lot of toilets and it might be the flush valve that's faulty and the whole system has to come off, but if it's a fill valve with a plastic shank, I know, like
brass every time,
they're a nightmare. So I replace the fill valve as well while it's stripped down, because you've been there before where you've put it all back together, tried to get it to reseal, and you spend more time messing. So I'd say to the customer, I'm going to replace that as well, the fill valve, and put obviously a Thomas Dudley shank.
Obviously
shank.
So you learn to just avoid them things coming up because you've had it before and you've learnt from it, and you do things a little bit different, don't you?
Yeah.
I suppose it's every day's a school day, isn't it, when you learn to do little tips and tricks. And I remember, was it lefty loosey, righty tighty, and all those kind of things. I learned how to wire a plug up because, you know, blue, green, I don't know what colour they go on. So BR, bottom right, BL, blue, bottom left, and anything else, put it on the top. So that was how I was told how to wire a plug up. So
that's all right if you know your right from your left.
Yeah, I suppose. And you're not colourblind like my dad was, who wired up the plugs in the house and only tell us he was colourblind, and we switched everything off. It blew literally half the sockets in the house, which was useful. And he said, yeah, but I am colourblind. I thought, well, you could have said, we could have helped you out on there. But yeah, so I mean, I've got a lot of respect for plumbers, because it's one of those trades that you probably only call when you need them. And then they come and do a job for you, and then you realise actually how good people are when they're very well doing their job. Even tightening the tap up, I struggled with tightening the taps up, and the guy just goes, there you go. So, you know, I must have spent about 4 hours trying to bend myself around the toilet so I could get underneath and put the bath plug on. You know, that was horrible. But is there any jobs that you really hate doing?
No, I mean, obviously, it is a job where you have to get yourself in very awkward positions. And after 25 years, my body is knackered, basically. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So, but yeah, like awkward baths to do taps and things, you know, awkward sinks.
Taps that are like along the wall.
Yeah, you can't get anything in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, toilet waste. I'm not a fan of that.
Drainage.
Yeah.
Don't do that. No.
Oh, so, I mean, I remember when we had our bathroom done, we were trying to think ahead, thinking, what if we need to change the taps? And the guy said, look, in the end, he said, look, don't worry about it. He says, if it goes wrong, the plumber will find a way to do it. Yeah. I was like, okay.
It's like when they're fitted on the, like you say, on the back wall, and you've got like, well, there's no way I can change that without taking the bath out.
Well, that's, you know, I have this problem now, because to get to the bath taps, I'm going to have to take the whole toilet unit out to get the board out to get to that. And I know, and we've had a floor laid while the toilet was in. So I know that when those taps go.
Don't call me.
Yeah, me. Okay, I am calling you, Bear, both of you at the same time. You're going to go and fix my toilet. But I know how bad that's going to be. And I'm like, I keep saying, look, don't mess the taps up. Don't mess around with them, because that's going to be a pain when that happens.
The thing is, it's like everything. You get people that install and people that maintain. You also get people that do both. If you do both, you're conscious of that. But if people just install and never maintain, they don't think about the consequences of when things break.
The next person.
They do.
Someone else's job to do. I suppose you come across that quite a lot when you come to fix something.
Yeah, definitely.
So regarding just on Thomas Dudley, have you got any favourite products that you like from Thomas Dudley's range? Anything that you were surprised that Thomas Dudley actually does when you actually came around to have a look?
Well, I've been using a few different products from their range. I've got a stop tap that I'm going to fit. I was supposed to fit it last week, but the stop tap in the road, I couldn't get to it. It's all buried, so I've had to wait till they've had that sorted. So, yeah, things like that, and radiator valves that I didn't realise they did, and, you know, they've the good quality stuff. So I think my favourites, obviously, it's what they do best, the toilet products, you know,
Turbo
I think.
The
siphons and the flushes, and the fact that, you know, they've got this new bit that you can put on the flush valve to make it more compatible without
the valve
stripping. So I'm looking forward. I tried it the other day, but it didn't fit this particular one, but I'm looking forward to the day where I think, I haven't got
it
to
fits.
Fit the system
it fits.
I mean, I think terminology is a bit, can be, in each industry is quite unique in its terminology. You know, double flush, single flush, outlet, inlet. Yeah, it all can be a little bit confusing. But the one that sticks in my mind the most, I mean, whether you come across this, is when we was looking at our product range, and we had a product called a force cup. And I'm like, what's a force cup? And I was scratching my head for ages, and I had something in it. It's a plunger. For some strange reason in this trade, it's called a force cup. And I was like, isn't that just a plunger? Yeah, but people call it a force cup.
I've learnt something new today.
Is there anything that sticks in mind from plumbing or heating that actually doesn't make sense, or you think, yeah, that's a ridiculous thing that we call that?
I'll use that now.
I'm fitting the force cup. You get the force cup on that. But each industry is quite unique from that. So, I mean, I imagine that there's all sorts of, with a gas boiler, there's all probably sorts of things that seem a bit odd within a gas boiler.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think generally, you don't really think about it because you're in the trade. You don't think about the names of things because you work with it every day, don't you?
That's true, yeah.
That's cool. Well, I think I've really enjoyed having you guys on the show. It's been it's brilliant. it's been a pleasure to sort of hear your stories, and you know the no female toilets was something I just didn't even think about would be an issue there, you know, and having to share the toilet with the executive people who wanted a nice toilet to use. But it's amazing how that potentially could have been a barrier to someone actually becoming a plumber. Or an engineer, which is, you know, really strange that basic sort of requirement would be sort of thing that might stop somebody. It's very, and I suppose you've got to be quite strong-willed to battle through that.
Yeah, I think that comes with being a female in a male's world.
Yeah, especially like working on site, you can't take it to heart. You banter, if they give it back.
Yeah.
You can't just go home and cry about it. Yeah. As bad as it sounds.
I suppose that's a good way, isn't it? You know, if they're chucking the banter, you chuck it back at them. And,
right back,
And to be fair, I think they probably appreciate that, probably most of them, in terms of that.
I gained more respect on site because I gave it back rather than just like keeping it and just walking on, doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
That's cool. Well, but yeah, it's been a pleasure and I hope we can get together again because I think it's been a great. So, so just to people, if you enjoyed the podcast, please like and subscribe by pressing some weird buttons that might be around somewhere on the screen. And you can follow Thomas Dudley on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn and X. And you can, if you want to chuck out your social media handles, whatever they might be, if you want people to come and follow you.
Kazgas Limited on Instagram and Facebook.
Pink_plumbing_HJS on Instagram.
Wow.
The longest one ever, yeah, I know.
Okay, so that's actually thank you to my guests, Kaz and H. Easier to get your name right this time.
Thanks.
Yeah, and just keep a look out for the next episode of Dudley Unplugged. This is Mark Morris signing off.